Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Why are there so many preachers and teachers, evangelists and prophets and elders that are saying you need to read the Bible? You pick it up, you open it up, and it doesn't make any sense to you. So what's the big deal? Why is it so important? And how can I bridge the gap between opening the book and understanding the book? Today on Intentional, we'll take a look at the significance in the Bible. Why are preachers preaching from it? And why are we encouraged to read it every day? I'm Dr. Faye, and this is your faith-based intentional message to teach you from God's Word how to live the life you were intended to live. How can you do that if we don't have a roadmap, if we don't have the architectural blueprint, the guidelines, the GPS, the navigational systems of life? God knew that mankind could not make it without a Savior, could not make it without having an insight into God's ways and God's will. From the beginning of time, God put a plan in motion that he could have a connection with his creation. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How would we know that if it had not been written? Well, I suppose a few prophets of men and women who had a close relationship with God would hear that, but it would still have to be written in order to reach the masses of people upon the earth. Today, with technology, not only are we able to share the written word, we're also able to share the audible word through these networks as well as other networks around the world, so that people can actually read and hear what God said in his book. The Bible is the only true book written by and inspired by God that can lead people to healing, to deliverance, and first of all, to salvation. For healing and deliverance comes as a byproduct of that. And he raised up men and women who were able to hear his voice and who were able to read his book with understanding. It's only information until the Holy Spirit comes to give us revelation. And when we get revelation, there is a transformation in our lives. So the book, God's book, the Bible, what is God's will for our lives is hidden right there in plain sight. It exhorts us to read it. In the book of 2 Timothy 3:16, he says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man, or it could say that the person of God, could be furnished thoroughly, furnished, perfected in all good works, so that we can teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is filled with historicals of truth and how Jesus healed, how Jesus delivered. Even before the cross, we see in the Old Testament how God was moving for the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, and how he brought about miracles and did great signs and wonders in the earth to show people that he is God, the only true and living God, and that he exists to show us who he is, that we might have this wonderful relationship with him. All scripture, everything we read, all the text from Genesis to Revelation are inspired by God. Imagine this, reading a book that has been inspired by God. Oh, there are great other supplemental books that you can check out the library or read online or by yourself, because those supplemental books are referencing the very truths that are in the Bible itself. There is no real truth outside of the Bible. They may be facts outside, but there are no truths, because those truths are what makes men free. Jesus said that we would know the truth and the truth would make us free. That means that where we are stuck, the truth liberates us. It takes off the chains and shackles of our minds. It removes the barriers and the roadblocks of time and causes us to see life through God's lenses. How wonderful is that? It is amazing what we discover as we begin to open the book. Let me pause for a moment. How many of us grew up where there was this huge Bible in the house? It was called the Family Bible. I like that it was called the Family Bible because it had a purpose. It really had a purpose. It's a Bible, first of all, that everyone could read because it's open there, and you walk in the house and you see this open Bible. We had it in our home growing up. And it was this big Bible, the Family Bible. I remember my mom saying that. And inside of this Family Bible, what she had done is written down everyone's name and their birth dates, etc., in that Bible. And she also made some other little notes in that book. I don't know what happened to it, but I remember seeing that book, that there was a Family Bible. And as I grew up, I wondered why more people weren't stopping by to read it, because it was made available for everyone, even visitors who would come in. If they sat there on the sofa, right there on the coffee table was an open Bible. And so your eyes kind of fell on the page and you could read a line or two even while you sat sitting there on the sofa. Wouldn't it be great if every home in America and around the world would have an open Bible? Would have a Bible there that anybody who came in could actually sit there and read. And I know there are people who are opposed to the Bible, but that doesn't make it dissipate or go away. It even gives it even more strength. It seems to me where the Bible is true, where it says, where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. Where we see people who are opposed to it, there's a greater number of people that are turning to it. When people reach the end of their rope, they even cry out, God, help me. Jesus, please. Even when they don't believe in the Bible. It's incredible how there's an instinct built on the inside of every human being to cry out to the bigger one, the greater one, who is God, our creator. We can assign him many adjectives, but I'm telling you, he is still the only true and living God. So if you didn't grow up with a Bible or you didn't grow up in church, it doesn't mean that God is not aware of your circumstances or what you're going through in life. He's very much aware of your circumstances. He's very much involved in your life as much as you would allow him to be. As much as you will open the door, that's as much as he will get involved. He's not a violator of our rights or our will. For the most part, because I'm thinking about certain times when people were on their way to do certain things like Saul of Tarsus, and his journey was interrupted by Jesus. Sometimes he'll interrupt your journey because of his divine plans, his sovereign rule, and he'll interrupt your thinking, your agenda, your vision, your mission, your destiny, your purpose, your want to, and his want to will rise up in your heart. But for the majority of people, here we are just living life based on our education, based on our will, based on our circumstances, rather than his will for our lives. And he's waiting for us to just turn toward him. and begin to acknowledge that His word is true, that He's real, that He's the Lord of the world. He's the Prince of, He's the Prince of, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's head of all principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And that He's here to help us and to aid us in every area of our lives, again, when we are willing to acknowledge His presence. In Matthew 4:4, we see the story of Jesus as He comes up after His baptism from John the Baptist, baptism by John the Baptist, and they saw the doves, John saw the doves ascending and descending, and the Spirit of God descending and ascending upon Him like doves. And He heard the voice that said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And He heard this voice. He knew that He had just baptized Jesus. He understood beforehand that this was the Savior of the world. And that He said, you should baptize Me. He said, "No, if you don't baptize Me, you won't have any part. I've got to be baptized." And that baptism was the old order, the old covenant going out and a new covenant coming in. Hello, somebody. Amen, church. There was about to be a new covenant. BC was about to be swallowed up by AD in time. Amen. So when Jesus was baptized of John, He was led up of the Spirit of God into the wilderness with a purpose, though, to be tempted of the devil. And as we take the journey and listen to what was going on there in Matthew chapter 4, we see the tempter had come to Him. And what did He do? He began to tempt Jesus with what was in His physical realm. He began to show Him the kingdoms of this world. He began to show Him the things of life. He wanted Him to lust after the things of this world. But, you know, here's the thing. The devil knew that this was not an ordinary man. Remember, he already had tried to kill Him when He was a baby. He had sent a decree out that all the babies that were 2 years old and under would die. Yeah. So let's look at that in Matthew 4, because we have to see, we should see the value in the word, given that Jesus is the Son of God who came and gave Himself for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, in St. John 3:16. In Matthew 4, we see that this Jesus was led up of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards He was hungry. Wouldn't you be? I would be. After 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. And when He was hungry, the Bible says in verse 3 that the tempter came to Him. And this is what the tempter said, and we know who the tempter is, the devil. The tempter came to Him, and the tempter said, "If you be the Son of God, why don't you make these stones bread? Why don't you go ahead and turn these stones to bread?" What did He do? He appealed to His appetite, His hunger. Yeah? How many of us, is Satan appeals to our hunger? He begins to bring things to His eyesight. And He says, Jesus said to him, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Life comes from the mouth of God. Jesus says this. Do you believe what Jesus said? Oh, yes, yes, we do. Jesus said, if you believe every word that comes from the mouth of God, you have life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And what happens next? The devil takes him up to a high city, the Bible says. He's at work trying to tempt Jesus. So he takes him up to a high city, up into the holy city, And then he sets him on a pinnacle of the temple. That's what the Bible is saying. And said unto him, if you be the Son of God, why don't you throw yourself off of here? Cast yourself down. Throw yourself off the top of this building. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest at any time you would dash your foot against a stone. So he says, throw yourself off. And what he's referring to is Psalms 91, that he will give his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Beautiful Psalms. You should read it. It's a protective psalm. I pray it almost every day, or pretty much every day. I may miss a day or two here and there, but pretty much every day, Psalms 91. So he says, throw yourself off. And then Jesus, every time the devil had a word, Jesus also had a word. But Jesus' word was from the word, because he is the word. Amen. So we see after this event, Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. The word. So the devil takes him to a high mountain, and he begins to show him the kingdoms of this world and all the glory. Takes him to the Empire State Building or some high pinnacle of a mountain at the very top of the mountain, Mount Rushmore. What's the name of that mountain? It's the tallest mountain in the world. But anyway, takes him to the highest mountain and said, okay, look at all this glory, the splendor. Look at what the world has for you. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you this if you will fall down and worship me. All these things I will give you. Now, imagine this. Have an imagination. Get a visual. You see the devil telling the Son of God, I will give you the world if you worship me. That tells me the devil didn't read the Bible. The devil didn't know the script. Nope, didn't know the script. You're going to give the Son of God the world? Mm. Jesus had to go through these temptations. We'll talk about that in a moment. Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Uh-oh, there we go again, the word of God. It is written, thou shalt worship, get that straight, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What happens next? I'll tell you when we come back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So what happens next? The devil had tempted him with the bread, tempted him with being at the top of the pinnacle of the temple to throw himself off, and then from the highest mountain in the world to show him the glory of the world and all these fantastic blings and glitz and glamour and Hollywood and style and fame and power and money, and said to him, I'll give you everything if you will just worship me. You see how hungry the devil is for your attention? He's a hungry beast for your attention. And if he can get your attention away from the word, he's got you. But he couldn't take Jesus' attention away from the word. Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. Get away from me. Get out of my face. I worship the Lord my God, and him only shall I serve. Back to the word. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. Thou shalt have no other God before me, is what the word of the Lord said. Thou shalt worship no other God. So then what happens next? The devil left him. And behold, an angel came and ministered unto him. What happens when we speak the word? This is our model. Let's go to the model. What happens when we speak the word? What happens when we speak the word is that the devil leaves and angels come. Somebody say amen, church. The devil leaves and angels come. They come to their assignment. Why? Because they hearken, they listen for the voice of the word. They're waiting for us to speak the word. They are moved by the presence of the word. They're not moved by the presence of what are we going to do? Oh my, oh me, gee, it hurts, ouch. They're not moved by that. They're not moved by I'm broke, the doctor said. They're not moved by that. They are moved by the word of God. Angels have been sent to move by the word, and they hearken to the voice of the word. Psalms 91 said he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. They are sent by divine assignment to protect God's people. How many times have you been in an almost accident, an almost situation, an almost circumstance? I remember when I was drowning and had gone down for the third time, and this next thing I know, I mean, I am seeing Jesus. I am seeing those happy moments in my life. So that's not a myth, folks. I've experienced that for myself. And I saw all of those happy moments in my life, and they were just little images, little visions that flashed before me. But I saw my Lord, and I just thought, oh, well, I'm gone with him. But then I was awakened at the side of the pool, and I thought, oh, what just happened here? Then they discovered that there was somebody down at the bottom who saw me at the bottom, and he used his physical head, not his hands, his head, and he bumped me up to the side, and they got me back from wherever I was. And, well, obviously, the Lord was there, but I was refreshed. So I know angels are on assignment. I don't know who he was, where he came from, whatever. I just remember them telling me what happened. They didn't give me a name. They don't know where he went, nothing like that. But it was God. It was the hand of the Lord. How many times in an almost accident, and we cried out the name of Jesus, 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 and that accident turned out to be an incident, and it was okay. Nothing bad happened, but a good testimony came out of that. Ladies and gentlemen, what I am saying to you today is that when you get in the word, it'll take care of your worries. It'll take care of your fear. It'll take care of your pain. It will. You're trying to tell me, Dr. Faye, that the word takes care of everything. Yes, I am. I am. As I am, Sam, I am telling you. It is true that when you speak the word of God, it will revolutionize your life. And people struggle with this. You know why we struggle? We struggle because the devil wants you to struggle. He wants you to stay defeated. He wants you to stay oppressed. He wants you to be the hamster on the wheel, going nowhere fast, exhausted from your labor, rather entering into that place of easy, light and easy. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And you can enter into that place where you're not stuck on that world's plan of being prosperous or being successful by sticking in this place of living your life in exhaustion all the time, exhausted. That's not the plan of God, ladies and gentlemen. The plan of God is to do you good, to make you happy, to allow us to walk into an area where we can truly arise. I want us to take a look at Hebrews chapter 12. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12. Well, wait a minute. Before I do that one, there's another scripture I want us to get, and I believe it's in Hebrews 8. We're going to take a look at that one because this is a powerful, powerful passage, because so many people miss the opportunity of being free by not staying in the word of God. But you're going to learn differently today to get into the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, well, let's look at 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, entering into the rest of God. Now, listen to what he says in the next verse. For the word of God is quick. Hello, somebody. Amen, church. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is. So since the word of God is all powerful and the word of God contains the remedy for life, shouldn't we want to know what he says? Because when we dig a little bit deeper and go a little bit farther into what he says in his word, we're going to discover more about ourselves than we can possibly imagine. We'll begin to take on a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of being because of what Jesus has done. I want to read a scripture in a moment from the book of St. John, but I want to take this one that's in Hebrews 4 that we just read from verse 12 and read it from the message. It says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything where the doubter defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Now listen up, church. This is me, okay? This is my comment. Listen up, church. How can we build a life without the life giver? How can we expand or think clearly without the one whose mind we need? How can we even think we can reach a purpose or destiny or to do it successfully unless the Lord builds the house? They that labor in vain who build it. And the only way any house can be built is by design, the word of God. When Solomon built the temple, let's back up. When Moses was making the tabernacle, giving the children of Israel the instructions for tabernacling in the wilderness. Tabernacles mean temporary dwelling place. So they was building a temporary dwelling place for God to be able to minister to the people. So when Solomon came along, it was time for Solomon to build a house. David wanted to build it, but David had hands that were dripped in blood. He was a man of war. But Solomon was a man of peace, and God passed the assignment on to Solomon, and he built God a house. And when he built that house, it was laid out so beautifully. You should read about the building of the house of God in Solomon's day. Woohoo! And you talk about gold, you talk about the finest of the finest, the best of the best. When you're talking about the thrones were made of gold, the goblets that they drank from were made of gold, what they ate from was made of gold. And then people get upset because preachers drive a Rolls Royce. Really? God ordained wealth in his house. He ordained it. We'll have to talk about that on this broadcast because people are still stuck in poverty mentality when God brought so much to Solomon. But it is by divine design. So everything that we are to do in this world, there's a divine design. And the only way to get that design is from God's word. We don't know enough in our own intelligentsia to be able to reach out and to do these things without God. Every good thing that has been done in this earth, it is because it is God-inspired. I don't give any man credit for God-inspired. God uses people to do great things. And without his life force moving through us, we have no ability. God is the reason we woke up. God is the reason I'm able to speak this morning to you. God is the reason I'm able to move my hands and see and hear. It is God who gives us this life force that is within us. And thank God for the eternal life force that with or without these bodies, we are still alive because of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is God. We can't get away from it no matter what. And we shouldn't want to get away from it, because get away from it means getting away from him. And who wants to do that? No way. Who wants to do that? We want to be in a place where we can all have this access to God and hear his voice and a stranger's not to follow. In St. John chapter 1, the Bible reads it this way in King James. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You get that? Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Still, this light is breaking forth through the dark places of men and women's souls, those places that have been stuck intellectually or looking after some other man on earth who died and wasn't resurrected. I'm not lifting a man up who was not resurrected. I'm only lifting up the name of Jesus, because he's the only one who died. And history after history tells us that he was resurrected. He rose again on the third day, and he is still risen. He didn't go back to the grave. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb, that he rose on the third day, and he is reigning today at the right hand of the Father, living to make intercession for us, that he's the mediator between God and man, that he's the advocate, Christ Jesus. He's the one who pleads our case because of the blood he's put on the mercy seat. His blood was the only blood that mattered. Buddha's blood didn't matter. Gandhi's blood doesn't matter. Not even Dr. King's blood. But it is the blood of Jesus that was shed on Golgotha's hill that has made a difference in the world globally. And whatever that name is preached and that gospel is preached, lives are changed. And at the minimum, people are disturbed because they know that name disturbs what they've been rooted in. And for some, they feel ashamed because they have believed the wrong thing for so long, and they hate to leave it because that's where they've been built. They're like the rich young ruler that Jesus told, you go sell all. He said, Master, what must I do to follow you? He said, the only thing you need to do is go get rid of your stuff. Go sell everything. Give all your money away, and then you can come and follow me. So when he wants us poor, he told him, no, he wasn't testing his wealth. He was testing his heart, his commitment, his dedication, his loyalty, his faithfulness. That's what that was about. It was not about the money. It was about loyalty, commitment, faithfulness, trustworthiness. This word that John is talking about, that light that shone in darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it because it was stuck in all of the other religious beliefs of the world and did not want to receive Jesus Christ. But my Bible teaches, and his word says, it's his book, but I have one, or two, or three, or four. The Bible teaches that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Undeniably Lord, undeniably King of Kings, undeniably sovereign. He is Master. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He wasn't the light. John wasn't the light, but he came and he wanted to bear witness of that light so that men would believe. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you become a son of God? Have you received? This is not a gender word. It's a spiritual word here. Son, seated in God. Have you been seated in God? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your dreams are not born of men, but born of God. If you have dreams to do great things in this earth, they've been born of God. Give credit to whom credit is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Those dreams belong to God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. This Word became a living, breathing, walking, talking being. So when Jesus spoke as the Word, he was speaking the Word. He was speaking out of himself. And whatever he spoke out of himself came to pass. He could send his Word and there was healing. He could speak a word and there was deliverance. Demons came out of people. Leprosy was healed. Blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were unstopped. The dumb began to speak again. Those that were stuck got unstuck because Jesus, being the Word, is the master of unsticking those that are stuck. That's how he does it. There was a shift in the planet, a major shift, and the world has never been the same. For years, until Jesus came, mankind knew of God through the law, the Abrahamic covenant, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, which came through Moses. But then the Bible says in verse 16, and of his fullness have all we receive in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when we open his book and begin to read the writing that he inspired to write, yeah, we begin to see through his eyes and begin to feel his heartbeat as we are filled with the precious Holy Spirit that will take that information to give us revelation so that we can experience a powerful transformation by the hearing of this gospel. We've been created to be greater than our own imagination. That's why the Word of God comes to give us a greater imagination, to give us a greater glimpse into his glory so that we're no longer stuck living a life that we cannot, you know, we have not been able to come into wholly, living a life from a place that we've been educated from and not able to come into the Christ life fully and maturely. He wants us to do that because he is our wisdom. He's our knowledge. Yes, yes, and yes. He wants the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened that we can know what is the hope of our calling so that we're no longer hamsters on a wheel going nowhere fast, adrifters through life. Like whatever will happen today will happen. I can't do anything about it. I know people like that that are just dull. I apologetically say that almost because I'm not calling you dull, but there are people who live a dull life because, and dull is like a knife that hasn't been sharpened. And we say that the Word of God, and we just read that in Hebrews 4 and 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So they're living a dull life because they're not living from the Word. And I've got more to say about that right after this pause.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. for a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The power of the open Bible, the power of the Word of God, takes us out of this isolation, stagnation, procrastination, humiliation, into a place of revelation so that we can be transformed to change nations, go through transformation to change nations. We want to make an impact with the time that we've been given here on this planet. We want to make a mark that cannot be erased. Thank God for technology. It makes it even more available to the world, making a mark that cannot be erased. There are ministers of the gospel whom I can listen to on YouTube that have transitioned out of their bodies, but they made a mark that's still here. 20 years ago, they're still making a mark. Isn't that powerful? Because life keeps on giving and it keeps on living. In Psalms 119 and 105, he says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word, woo, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is directive. It is my GPS. It's my navigational controlling system. I don't know what to do until you give me a word on it. I don't know how to move through this situation. I need your word. It's my go-to book for trials and tribulations. It's my go-to book. It's your go-to book. Maybe you're not aware of it. That's okay. That's okay. We're here to help you be aware. We're here to help you help to raise your awareness of why there's power in the Word of God. There's so much significance. For the word to be inside of you. When you read it, the Word of God comes back whenever you need it. In Joshua 1 and 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success." Romans 15 and 4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Yes. The psalmist said in 119:11, he said, "I stored up your word in my heart that I won't sin against you." The word is the only thing that keeps us from slipping, sliding, and diving. You know, those things that you used to do in the back, in the booth, in the corner, in the dark, still skip, 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 step, step, step. The word will keep you at home at night, sir, with your wife. It's the word that will keep you. The word will keep you out of bed with strange bedfellows, ladies and gentlemen. The word will keep you. The word will keep your mind stayed on him. For he said, "I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because he trusts in me." Paul wrote to the church of Colossae in chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." See, when you put the word in you throughout the day, you'll be singing and saying the word, even within yourself. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he says, "Do your best to present yourself to God, approved, a worker who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You can study the word. It's not difficult. It's not hard to understand like you thought it was. Maybe the King James is a little bit too Elizabethan. So get over that. Go to the New King James. Go to the Amplified Classic. Read the message. Just read it. Whatever resonates with you, read it. As long as it is based on the King James, read it and let it enlighten your mind. It is written. That's our foundation. What is written in this book? Paul exhorted Timothy to stay in the word, to continue to read it. Don't let it take a dive out of your life. Keep it. The great thing about technology is that now I have it in the palm of my hand. I have it on my iPhone, my iPad. So I can pull it up on my laptop and listen to the Audible Bible and either of those devices, because it is there. Thank God for the men and women who made it audible. We applaud you. Thank God for you, because you can turn that on and in a subliminal tone, you know what that is? You don't quite make out the words, but there's a kind of a silent read, not really silent, but a quiet, low tone, low volume reading, and let it be that and let it read to you overnight. I've been doing that, listening to something all night, the word all night, not just something, but the word in some form, where there's a minister that has a soft tone, you know, or the Bible being read. Listening to this teaching will elevate your consciousness of Christ. It will. All scripture is given by inspiration of God in 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17. And is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, a woman, competent one, may be competent, equipped for every good work. The more you read, the more clarity you get. So you're not stuck in saying, I don't understand the Bible. The greatest book that you could ever hold in your hand is the Bible. The greatest book you could ever read is the Bible. So, but Dr. Faye, there are circumstances in my life that I cannot find a scripture for. Well, keep on reading it. God will give you a scripture. I can remember going through a period where I was having car issues and I needed a car. I needed a car. Maybe some of you need a car. And I found a scripture in Isaiah, the reference I can't recall right now, but it says, I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I went, whoa, that's my word. That's my word. God will cause me to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I began to speak that out of my mouth every day, all day long. I was just speaking it. Every time it came to me, I would just speak it because I was walking. I needed a ride. And I would speak that word. And behold, God opened the door for that ride. I had to make a trip to the dentist. And they were telling me they may have to do, what are they called? Oh, yeah, the root canal work or whatever. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, I need a word. I need a word on this that I can stand on, standing on the word of God. And the word came to me, I will satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I went, yay, that's my word. That's my dental appointment word. Everything that I was experiencing or I've experienced in life, God has a word on it. Now, I may not be immediately fine. Oh, good. When you go to the dentist, this is thus said the Lord. No, it's not going to be written like that. But it'll be written in a way that you can identify with. If you ask God for a word on your situation, he will give you a word. You don't have to follow after somebody else's word. You don't have to do that. Get your own word. You can get a word from God. He has enough word in that book to cover anything that is going on in your life. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 that as newborn babies, we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Hunger after it. Want to know what thus said the Lord. David said, I love your law. And in it, I meditate all the day long. I'm going to meditate all the day. I'm going to find out what God is saying to me from his word. Oh, yes. Job was pleading with God and he said, I didn't depart from your word. I treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And the King James actually says it this way, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. One translator says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. As Jesus was praying in St. John 17, in about the 17th verse, I love that chapter. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. See, it's the truth that liberates us, ladies and gentlemen. It is the truth that makes us free. It's the truth that causes the devil to pack up and leave you, just as we read in Matthew 4. It is the truth that will bring the angels on assignment to you. And the truth is the word of God. There is no other place that you can go and be as free and delivered as you can through the word of God. There are things that will give you band-aids. There are things that will give you a hope for truth, but it's only temporary. The truth makes you free. It will liberate you. Whether you're a guru just going, or whatever you're doing, with all due respect, ma'am, with all due respect, sir, your alms can only go so far. It is the power of the Lord God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will bring you out of bondage into the glorious liberty. And those of you who know me, you know I'm not churchy, religious. You know that I just come from a place of God's Spirit and truth to help as many people as I possibly can, whether you're in the marketplace or whether you're in Park Place. I'm here to give you a word that will liberate you and to make you free. And the word today is open the book. It's right there. Open the book. It'll make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Open the book. And as you open the book, the things that you have been trying to get away from will fall away from you. That's how that goes right there. That's what will happen to you. Search the scriptures. You think in them you have eternal life, but they are they which bear witness of me, Jesus said in John 5. They are they which bear witness of me, he said. That was 5 and 39. They're they who testify of me. The scriptures testify of Jesus. So we read it. I remember as a small child going into the local church with my parents, with my mom particularly, who was definitely and grandmother were definitely the ones who pushed church. We were drugged. We were drugged. Now, I really enjoyed it. I really did. I really enjoyed going to church, going to Sunday school. I enjoyed being there. And I understood that it was important for my life. I understood that it had value in my life. But they could only give me what they had, because you can't give away what you don't possess. So there was limitations to the understanding of scripture, because most people believed that only the pastor or the preacher could hold the book. You know, like in some circles, with all due respect, ma'am and sir, people believe that only the person up in the pulpit should be able to understand them, should be able to read it. And that's not true. Our directive is to inspire you and encourage you to go and read it for yourself. I exhort you to open the book and read to see if those things which I say are so. You'll find that what I say is so. You'll find it. You'll discover that, oh, she's telling the truth. As I read, I feel better. As I read, I get freer. My mind is freer. You think you have eternal life. They're testifying of Jesus. This word is quick. His word is powerful. It's cutting away the stuff that has been trying to keep me in bondage. David knew in the Psalms 1 and 2, he said he delighted in the law of the Lord. He's meditated in it day and night and observed to do all that's written therein. He made his way prosperous and had good success through speaking, through thinking, through meditating upon the word of God. Not just meditating and I see an ocean, I see the sun. That's all nice, but the word of God must be in the ocean. The word of God must be in the light rays coming on your face. The word of God, because other than that, you're just going to still really, you might feel a little better, but there won't be complete healing and deliverance. Yes, yes, and yes. And Psalms 119 and 1, and I certainly can't read the Psalms 119 is a long Psalms, but let me tell you the power of it, and you can go and read that for yourself. The power of Psalms 119 is about the word. It talks about walking in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimony, who seek them with him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong. And now listen, we all do some wrong. But those who meditate on the word, you will get convicted and you'll correct that step. Yes, you will. You'll correct that step. We walk in his ways. We walk in his precepts and we'll keep them. We'll keep what he tells us to do. and not stray away from it. This is a great teaching. I enjoy teaching it because I know it's weighty. It has great encouragement for those of you who may have been stuck, or those of you who have said so long, I don't understand this Bible, Dr. Faye, and that's why I don't read it. I encourage you to begin to read it. Open it up and it'll open you up. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Open it up and it'll open you up. It'll transform your life before you know it. And you know, a transformation is not this lightning bolt kind of dramatic thing that takes place. Transformation usually is very subtle. You don't even know what's going on until it's done. You just wake up one morning and you feel, hey, I'm free. What happened to that? I don't know, but I don't care either, because it's gone. It's off of me. That migraine is gone. That backache is gone. That sinusitis is gone. The sciatica nerves have been healed. Your heart disease has been healed. Your liver, your kidneys, your healing power, the healing power of God is flowing through your body because of the word of God. And even as I spoke those words, many of you are receiving healing right now. I speak a word of healing to your mind and your body. I command every disease, everything that's attacking you right now, to go from you in the name of Jesus. From Matthew 8:17 says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And that's the truth. And I'm sticking with it. God bless each of you for being a part of the conversation today with God, this faith-based broadcast to take you out of where you've been to where you need to go. And I know by the grace of God, we've spoken a word into your life to transform your everyday waking, walking, talking life. It is such a privilege to share this time with you. Thank you for your feedback. You can write me at support@drfaye.com. I appreciate hearing from you, your testimonies, your stories, even your prayer requests. Don't forget to join us on Wednesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Central Time for our Global Church sponsored Wake Up and Pray group. Our prayer warriors are there 3 years strong, 3 years running. Tremendous miracles have happened in our prayer room, and we want yours to be one of those. I look forward to hearing from you. I trust that God will continue to bless, heal, deliver, and set you free. It is an amazing time. By the way, I will put that information in the description for our Wake Up and Pray number. And I want you to know that we do respond to your emails, and we do pray for those of you who do submit your prayer requests. It is such a blessing being here. Don't forget to watch the encore. Check the time. It's 4:00 on AmericaOutloud.com. We are also on iHeartRadio, iTunes, and you can tune in there. Join us on iTunes. Please rate and review across social media. Be an evangelist and share this message with your network. Share it across social media. Tweet, 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 tweet. And also in LinkedIn and the other social media sites, of course, Facebook, we want you to do so. I love you. God loves you. It's always a blessing being here. Until next time, this is Dr. Faye, and I'll see you soon.